Escape from the Burnout Society, a podcast dedicated to prevent and overcome chronic stress and burnout. It is also a dialogue with many experts around the world in the fields of health, mindset, and lifestyle. I hope you enjoy it. Check for more information on our website www.escapeburnoutsociety.com. Welcome to Escape from the Burnout Society. I am your host, Gabriela Guzman, and today my guest is Stacy Conte, a motherhood and parenting coach who embarked on a challenging journey of personal transformation that has turned her into a more resilient parent, a better individual, and an exceptional coach. In this episode, Stacy and I delve into the method she has developed for coaching women who aspire to grow in all facets of their lives. We discuss the misconception of multitasking and explore the optimal practices women can adopt to navigate a world that often feels stressful and bewildering. Stacy enlightens us how to establish a solid structure and take purposeful actions. Her unwavering passion for guiding mothers towards personal and professional growth has established her as a beacon of hope for women around the globe. Well, Stacy, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Gabriela. Thank you for having me. A pleasure.
Yeah. Hey, Stacy, well, I think we should start with your own personal journey and all the challenges you have faced as a mother, you know, and prioritizing and working and evolving in this role of a mother. Can you tell us about your path as a mom?
Sure. So I have I have two girls, 15 and 13. I had my 15-year-old 15 years ago, and it was the most amazing, fulfilling, best job I've ever had. Coming with that, right? It was the most stressful, overwhelming time of my life. From the moment that I found out that I was pregnant with her. So it's been a journey, right? So when I had her, I worked full time in corporate America in the Fortune 500 environment. I worked full time. I also worked full time when I had my second child. So I had them 2 years apart. I really stopped. I was an avid exerciser before I had children. I really took care of myself. As soon as I had children, I really let it all go. My focus was on them. And I thought that that was being a good mother, just focusing on them and forgetting about myself. And I really lost myself and I forgot about myself. I stopped exercising as much. I mean, I did it. I was not consistent, right? Gained a tremendous amount of weight. Eat badly because, you know, like you're eating chicken nuggets, you know, but you're eating leftover chicken nuggets. You're eating, you know, the things that you give them to eat. And just really wasn't taking care of myself. I was working and I really was trying to be everything at work. So I would go to work and I would be so driven and not really be myself. Right. And then I'd leave work and I'd come home and I'd say, oh, I have to have dinner. Check the box. I have to have dinner with my children. When I was there, I was concentrating on what was happening at work. I left work on time, right? I left work on time. I should have stayed later in my head, you know, and ruminating. So I was not present with my children. And I think to myself, like, okay, they have to eat, check the box. Really, did I have a conversation with them? Was I present in the moment? No. And then I take them to their activities and then I check the box, put them to bed, and then I go and I check my email. And then I sit on the couch. If I had a good day, I drank some wine. I had some ice cream. I had some popcorn and chips and I watched Netflix. If I had a good day or a bad day, that happens, right? No matter what, that happens. So, you know, I was sort of self-soothing, you know, and I was just crazy. And then one morning I'm making lunches, right? And I was probably like, if I had a camera, God knows what I look like. And my older daughter said to me, you look terrible and you're always in a bad mood. So I took a step back and I was like I gasped. And I was like, I have two little girls. You know, and you can say, take care of yourself. You're great. Da, da, da. But I wasn't loving myself. I wasn't loving myself. I wasn't taking care of myself. So they're looking at me, looking at what I'm doing. And, you know, what was coming out of my mouth was way different how I was showing up every day. So I decided to make a change.
Sorry.
She's 15 now. She was probably around 11.
Okay.
She was probably around 11. Yeah. Yeah. And I was so taken back, you know, out of the mouth of babes. Right. So from there, I was like, I reached out to a coach. You know, the reason probably I'm a coach now. And she was great. And she gave me some tools. From there, I was like, wow, she's great. And maybe I want to do this. And then from there, I was still working. I got some coaching certifications. I got my MBA. I proceeded to get a master's degree in learning design and technology from Georgetown. So I just kept on educating myself. And then I was like, I'm a lifelong learner. I read all the time, just sort of, you know, just researching everything. And from there, it was like a trajectory of like self-care and self-improvement. And I've really become so happy, so fulfilled. I'm better at all of my relationships. I'm a better mother. I'm a better wife. I'm a better daughter. I'm a better sister. Everybody in my, and you know, everybody's happy in my household, just from in little steps. So, you know, that's my journey, right? And I'm still learning, right? I still am reading, you know, multiple books a week and trying to improve myself and make some improvements, incremental, little, nothing life changing. And no one should think that you're going to take a pill and things are going to change tomorrow. Very little steps, manageable steps that I take, and it's something always comes up. I really want to improve upon that. And it's fulfilling.
So we could say that this change in you really started because this moment of reality check that your daughter said, like, what's going on here? This mom is not really underperforming.
Yes. Yeah. I was below target.
Yeah, below target. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it just remind me like a conversation I had with my daughter once that she came yelling at me, and we were at home and our house is not really big. So I said, sweetie, could you just lower your voice a little bit? Because I can hear you, you know, you don't have to scream at me. And she said, oh, sorry, I just came from my friend's house where everybody's always shouting.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought, oh, wow. She said, yeah, the parents are shouting to each other every time. So I thought like, okay.
So they
know exactly. They can see other moms and other dads. That's confronting. It's really confronting.
Yeah. That's really interesting. That's an interesting point because I always say you get back what you give out. Right. So if you're going to yell at somebody, they're going to yell back at you. So that's the difference between reacting and responding. So being able to take a step back and taking that deep breath and having those tools to be resilient and to react and respond, right? To respond rather than react.
Yeah.
To be very mindful in your response because, you know, you go at somebody and you yell at them, they're going to yell back at you.
Sure.
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah, exactly. Of course. And you have to get conscious about this fact that you are gelling, actually. People don't realize they're gelling. Eh? It's just the way they are. So, so Stacey, now let's talk about the mother's pathway and the Thriving Mom's Guide. Tell me about that, because I looked for you on the internet and I was really very curious to know what's all this about. How did you came about to do all this?
So basically, Mother's Pathway, that's my business. And, you know, I have a pathway program. So it's a path program. So P is for priority. A is for accountability. T is for transitions. We're all going through transitions every day, no matter what. No matter what, no matter if you're just had a baby, you're an empty nester, you have a special needs child that maybe has to go into a residential facility. There's many, you're going through menopause. I'm doing a lot of menopause work right now, a lot of menopause work. There's so many changes in, you know, perimenopausal women. And it's really interesting. And then the H stands for hero, which is the self-care sustainability. Right. And that's the most important, to lower your stress. You know, we could give each other all of this advice, right, to take supplements and things like that. But like, if the timing of, like, just for an example, you know, lowering your stress is so important, because if you're getting crazy about taking supplements and, you know, to help yourself, but the timing is stressing you out, then don't take the supplements, because they're, you know, it's counterintuitive of what you want to achieve and it's not going to help you. Just things like that. My business is very boutique-y. What you may need is not what I would need. So it's the client drives what their needs are. I'm also a health coach. I lost 60 pounds from a healthy transformation program that I have. So if somebody needs to lose weight, I talk to them about healthy habits of eating, exercise. I've had certifications in group exercise, Pilates, kickboxing, sculpting. So it's very boutique-y. It's whatever the client needs. So I offer, you know, we have a consultation. I, you know, consult with my clients. We see what's going on, what they're not comfortable with, what they want to improve. So it's not about one goal. It's the process, right? It's the process to make you more resilient and to give you tools to be more resilient. So there's external forces out there, and we don't know what life is going to throw at us. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So we can concentrate on a goal that you want very short term, but the long term, we concentrate on the process, your process, and how you're going to be resilient, and how you can sustain and live a more fulfilled and happier life.
Sure. Well, everybody's life is different. Some, we have also single moms, quite some of them, young moms, older moms. And you know, I think I would like to start with the P of prioritizing in the path.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's also the first letter of your, of the path. It's also the first thing to do, just like prioritize is the place to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah. So you need to look at yourself, right? You need to identify who you are authentically and who you want to be and how you want to show up to the world. So prioritizing your values and how you want to show up every day, how you want to be remembered, how you want people, how you want to make people feel. When somebody walks away from a interaction with you, how do you want them to feel? And be authentic to yourself and your values. Then from there, prioritize, are there events in your life? Are there relationships in your life? Do you have a job that is weighing you down and not making you lighter? We need to focus in on these things. And if it's not making you lighter, it doesn't need to be done. And how can we sort of push that out of our lives and focus on the events, the relationships, the jobs, the activities that make us lighter and fulfill us based on our values and who we are authentically? Because right now we're all on Facebook saying, oh, look at me. I'm at the beach. It's great. You know, who are we? Who are we? And what's going to make us happier? And you have to evaluate that.
Yeah. And do you have, with the women you're working with, can you notice that there is also kind of problem with, finding out who you really are? I mean, not what they want you to be, or what you think you should be, but the person you really are. Do you, you think that is a common problem, or you don't?
Yes. Yeah. 100%. So you had mentioned that there's all different, kinds of mothers, right? So, you know, single mothers, maybe mothers that have a lot of money, right? And then we all have our judgments, and we look at these mothers that have a lot of money and maybe they don't have to work. And we say, what are they complaining about? They have so much money. That's very common. What are they complaining about? They have a babysitter. They have a nanny. They have so much money. Well, who are they? They don't go somewhere every day. People with jobs go to work and a boss says, you did a great job today. Or, you know, they have reviews. They are told, you know, do you think somebody that stays home that is wealthy, their husband comes home and says, wow, you did, or their partner comes home or their children say, mommy, you were great. That was so great what you did today. You're above target.
You're going to get the raise. Yeah. Oh, really?
Not going to happen, right? So it's very hard for them, you know, and on top of it, the stigma of everybody judging them saying, oh, what do they have to complain about? Then they'll go through their lives because they're trying to keep up with the Joneses. They live a very different life. You know, every mom has their challenge. They live a very different life. So how authentic are they to themselves? Because they have to keep up with the Joneses. They're saying, oh, this is my, you know, it depends on how wealthy, you know, an individual is. You know, maybe somebody has a tremendous amount of pressure to be physically fit. Tremendous amount of, there's many, many different aspects of people and influencers and external influencers that that are affecting women so that they are not their authentic selves. So yes, very, and it is all over the place. It's on every socioeconomic scale. It's an issue. It's an issue on every socioeconomic scale.
Very important you saying that, because indeed that's a kind of stigma, like women with a big budget, they can buy everything, they can afford everything, and why would they complain? Because, you know, they have time to spend, you know, time over, you know, a lot of me time. And nevertheless, indeed, the other side of the coin is that at the end, they might be very unhappy with their, you know, self-image, like who am I and what's my value and what I'm going to do when my children grow up. And I mean, of course, there are many women that don't have those problems, those ideas. But for women that are working 40 hours or maybe 60 hours a week, it's very easy to think like, okay, well, don't complain if you have everything already. Yeah. Let's talk about the second letter of the path.
The accountability, right?
Yeah.
So like I said before, you know, it's everybody's journey, but there's no magic pill. You have to do the work and you have to hold yourself accountable. I don't tell my clients, this is what you should do, X, Y, and Z. I ask a bunch of questions to really dig down and say, who is the authentic you? Because what I do might not be good for what you do. I can guide you. However, let's dig deep into what you really want. And you need to do the work. You need to work. And doing the work is very fulfilling. It's all about the process, but you need to be accountable. I can help with holding you accountable, because when you have a coach, that's a big level of accountability. And it's a great first step for somebody that wants to hold themselves accountable. But it's, you need to dig deep and you need to be accountable. You need to be accountable. You need to be aware. I always say, get that level of awareness. Know that you're overwhelmed. I'm aware. I mean, you know, we're all aware when we're overwhelmed, we're stressed out. Then from there, you need to accept it. Hey, let's accept it. I'm overwhelmed. Let's do, you know, prioritize what we do, right? You accept it and you prioritize. And then the third level is from there, when you prioritize and you release that, you're able to take the blinders off and then you can make clear choices to move forward. But you need to hold yourself accountable and you need to do the work, which is very fulfilling. It's very fulfilling.
So you have an appointment with someone and then you, I don't know, you have a list of things that person has to do within a month. And then you're going to say, okay, tell me what happens, or how do you work with people to make them accountable?
So what we do is, I have an assessment. So like an assessment on how you are going through life. It's takes about 20 minutes. It's questions about like how you show up every day, just certain scenarios. And from there, like my clients get emailed this assessment. From there, I evaluate it. And it gets grouped into sort of 7 energy levels. And then I show them how they are categorized. And then we go through the 7 energy levels and look at how the stressors in their life and how they go through everyday activities affect their energy levels and show them that the energy levels. So there's 7 energy levels, the first being a victim energy level, going up to a level 7, which is a non-ego, non-judgment, like pie in the sky energy level. Everybody should go around, you know, like Mother Teresa and Gandhi are like level 7s, like, you know, but you can be level 7 in certain situations, but I don't think anybody really hovers there, like stays there. But as you go up the trajectory of the energy levels, it sort of gets like more positive, right? You know, your energy shifts from, you know, anabolic energy, which is the building up energy, to it shifts from catabolic energy, which is destructive, tearing down energy at level 1, to, as you go up the trajectory, it goes to anabolic energy, which is the building up energy. Mm-hmm. So that's how we go. So we evaluate how they are right there. Then we go through the stressors, the influencers in life. There's 6 of them. They're environmental, they're physical, they're mental, how you're concentrating. There's 6 of them. I won't drain it. And then we go from the 6 stressors, we see where you're really affected and where your stressors are. And then we move from there. And then we have core principles that we work on: accountability, awareness, making clear choices. And as I said, based on your stressors and your assessment, we discuss where you want to go and what your path is going to be, what you want to be held accountable for. So as I said before, it's very boutique-y and it's very tailored to what your needs are.
All right. So they also can say what they want to be accountable for. That's very interesting. All right. Yeah. So let's go for the 3rd letter, the T.
So transition. I mean, like, everybody's going through a transition. I'm going through transitions all the time. So it depends on, are you going through a transition right now? Can you think of one?
Yeah, sure I do. yeah, sure I do. I mean, but it's what we were just saying. I mean, if you are learning all the time, you're actually transitioning constantly.
There could be, you know, like, I don't know if it's a huge transition moment. I mean, there's micro transitions. It doesn't have to be a huge life-changing, altering. Everything's a transition, like you just said. It could be a micro transition. It could be you're not comfortable. You're not feeling good about yourself. And you really want to move forward and go forward. And that's a transition. Everything's a transition in life. But it doesn't need to be like, I'm moving to Guam. You know, like, it doesn't need to be that. It could be like, it doesn't have to be like I'm moving to Guam. It could be like, I want to lose 10 pounds. I want to feel better. I have inflammation in my bones. How do I feel better? Can you help me? Inflammation, you know, I feel horrible about myself. It could be anything.
Yeah. Right. The nice thing about transitions is that you enjoy the process, isn't it? Of transition.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like change. I think it's so healthy. I really like change. And there's so much we can learn from change. You know, as I'm going through studying and really honing in on perimenopause, there's a stigma with menopause, right? And I was guilty of it. I was guilty of it. I'm like, oh God, oh, that's going to be horrible. Like, I'm going to be sweating all over the place, right? But as I do research, it's a rebirth. It's a rebirth. And if we can get our minds around really embracing it and knowing that it's how we're built, it's what nature told us, our bodies, that we have to do. There's got to be some reason why we're doing it. There has to be, right? So instead of saying, you know, giving into the stigma, right? And giving into like this, you know, it's society saying, oh, wait until, oh, my mom, you know, like I've heard people say, oh, my mom's going through menopause. She's awful. Doesn't have to be that way. You know, embrace it. There's some beautiful, beautiful rebirth that has to do with your menopausal time. And I think that people don't identify that. Mothers don't identify that. They're just like, oh, I'm feeling weird. And everybody says that I should be in a bad mood. So those are different things. And that's a big transition.
Yeah, I guess also about menopause is that because it's like taboo. We are not really stimulated to talk about that. And what happens then is that women have a lack of information and they are not conscious about the fact that that's, of course, your body is changing, but that doesn't mean it has to influence the way you think. I mean, it does in a way, but you can have a hold on many other things. You know, you can really take charge at the moment you're feeling really very bad. There are always ways to feel better. For example, let go running, for example, go to the gym or eating better or sleeping longer, you know, these kind of things. What kind of coaching do you can you get someone in this situation? That's also interesting. Let's sort of talk about, yeah, health. We're going to the last letter. Yeah, health.
Yeah. So I talk about what they're eating. Like, that's the first thing. Like, what are you eating, right? Because if you're eating cookies and high sugar foods, you're not going to feel good.
Like, the chicken nuggets, like,
Yeah, and the chicken nuggets. You're not going to feel good. So that's what we talk about first. But like, what are you eating? So we talk about what they're eating. I very much believe in a low glycemic index diet. I feel that, you know, that's your healthy transformation. That's what you should be eating. It's worked for me. It's very sustainable for me, and it's very easy to do, right? And then we talk about activity. Are you moving your body? What are you doing? Why aren't you doing it? Everybody needs to move every day. I don't, you know, even going like that, right? Let's figure out what's authentic to you. Like, you're a marathon runner, right? I don't like running marathons. So it's like not going to happen, but I like cycling, right? So I like cycling. So I do that. I like going for long walks. I do that. So somebody that has never exercised before, the advice I give to them, do you want to listen to a podcast and walk? Maybe if you really enjoy listening, are you spiritual? Do you want to pray? Do you want to do meditation and maybe walk? What kind of music do you like? Go into your room and dance like no one's watching. There's your exercise. Do it for 15 minutes. Go blast the music and dance like no one's watching. It doesn't have to be go into the gym, standing next to Barbie on the treadmill, because that's very intimidating. But doesn't need to be that. You don't need to pay for a gym membership. And I do talk about sculpting, right? And lifting weights and building those muscles, because that is a game changer for perimenopausal women. You need to strengthen your bones. You know, osteoporosis, there's a slew of many, many, many things you can avoid by increasing your muscle mass, not muscle mass, your muscle health. There really is. So I very much focus on encouraging that. It doesn't have to, it has to be like 15 minutes, maybe three times a week, you know, and individuals are like, I don't work out. I was made fun of, you know, and like, why don't they work out? Maybe in third grade, they weren't picked for a team and they thought they were not athletic, and then they haven't worked out for the rest of their lives. Like that comes up. And what? And then it's very intimidating to drive to a gym and get on that treadmill and go into those group exercise classes. And then what are they doing in those group exercise classes? I mean, I was a group exercise instructor when I was way younger, and it was hard. Like, I taught hard classes. They were standing. People were balancing on one foot, like a flamingo. And I was doing, you know, complex exercises, but many, maybe 80% of the population cannot do that. So focusing on what they can do and getting the benefits on very simplistic exercises, and you will get benefits from very simplistic exercises, and showing them and guiding them and saying, you don't have to do an hour and a half of exercise, because when you over-exercise, that's dangerous too, because you're increasing your cortisol levels, which increases your stress, which throws your hormones out of balance. So it's easy to, it's very, very good to have that balance. Yeah, so that's what we do to exercise. And you asked the question, what we talk about for menopause. And, you know, sleeping and activity. Sleeping is 100% the most important thing that you can do for anybody. There's so many benefits to sleep, just making sure that you're well rested, because when you're not, I just had this with my daughter. She was upset about something and she hadn't gotten a good night rest. And she was like, devastated about something that was no big deal. I mean, she's 15, but anyway, but also, but I said to her, I said, okay, you're tired, go to sleep. And I said, I always say tomorrow's a better day, right? Because tomorrow's a better day. It always is. She went to sleep. She had a great night's sleep. And I asked her, I shouldn't have brought it up because she didn't bring it up, but I did because I was curious. He said, I asked her about the problem. I said, so what? And she goes, what? She forgot. I was like, okay. But she was like devastated because she was exhausted. You know, when you're exhausted, you can't think clearly. You can't retain information. I know when I don't get a good night. So I'm very, very, you know, I'm a stickler with sleep. Like for myself, I'm like, I don't do anything that I don't like when I like guide my clients. Like you could walk into my house. This is what I do. Like I'm not, you know, guiding anybody to do anything that I don't do. Like 100%, I do everything that I'm going to offer individuals.
Well, and talking about exercise and coaching. I heard you have something like a walk and talk coaching session.
Yeah. So that's boutique-y as well. So, you know, if, you know, I have an office here, I'm in Pleasantville, New York. However, if you don't want to sit in my office or you don't want to do a Zoom and you're local, let's go for a walk. Let's go for a walk and we can tailor it to you, your fitness level. If you want to walk for 7 miles, I'm game. If you want to do 2 or 3 and you just want to get outside, or you want somebody to, you know, you want to hold yourself accountable, but you're not going to hold yourself accountable unless somebody shows up with you. That's fine. And then when you're outside and you're talking, a lot of things come up, right? A lot of things come up and it gives you creativity. When I do these walk and talk sessions, there's a lot of things that come out and a lot of really great realizations. The blinders come off tenfold. So I love them, you know, and I live in a beautiful, so we have like, you know, park trails here. Like I live in a beautiful place. So it's really nice for me to be able to take advantage of that with my clients. I really love those. Those are really special to me.
I think it's a very special way of coaching, actually. I was not so long ago in the fitness. I tried to do workouts for 45 minutes at most, once or twice a week. And one of the things I was just watching around is that people go on the treadmill and they take someone, a friend or someone in the you know, with the, in the headphones, and they're talking.
Yes.
So they're in the fitness, but they're talking with someone who's I don't know where, and they keep on talking and they go through the fitness and they ignore their environment and they are with someone else. And then suddenly I thought, like, why don't these two just meet in the, you know, in the forest or, you know, and go walking?
100%.
Yeah. I think next time I'm going just to take you on the shoulder, say, like, you know, the woods are there, you know?
I know. And that throws you off. That's it. Like, you're like, oh gosh, stop. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Well, Stacey, there's another topic I would like you to talk about. What do you think about multitasking? Because there's a myth about multitasking and being a woman, and we're so good at it, and we are should be able to do this and that at the same time. And, you know, my brain, before I was a mom, after being a mom, always has been one thing at a time. I just can't work with two at the same time. It's just not possible. And then I thought, maybe it's just something genetic, you know, because my dad said the same to me, just one thing at a time, please. But what do you think about multitasking in women?
So you are very evolved. I love that. One thing at a time. You're very evolved. I'm impressed. I used to brag. I'm the best multitasker. I could do everything, right? And guess what? I was overwhelmed because I was multitasking, right? Doing a bunch of things not well, and not being present because you're multitasking. So I do not like multitasking at all. And that goes, that piggybacks off of what I'm saying about prioritizing. You need to get rid of the things that are weighing you down, prioritize the things that make you lighter, that mean something to you. And then you have to prioritize them and not multitask. Get one thing done, then move forward to the next thing. If you don't shut it down and focus, and then I find, right? So I will finish something, concentrate on it, and then move on. You think by multitasking that you're like time management and I'm decreasing the amount of time. You are not. 100%. There are studies shown if you multitask, you are increasing the amount of time because cognitively you do not have the ability to focus on too many things. So cognitively you cannot, it's scientifically proven, you cannot handle it and you don't do it well, which you make mistakes. So then you have to go back and revisit it and fix those mistakes. More time, way more time. It makes sense. And there's scientific studies to show it. So I do not multitask. I feel like I'm way more efficient because I don't multitask. I'm always finishing something and then moving on. Sometimes that you can't help it. You can't get something done and you're a mom and you have somebody screaming that, hopefully they're not screaming. You have somebody that has needs that you need to cater to. You have children. Sometimes you can't, but for the most part, put it in a habit that you need to finish something and then move on to the next activity. I read a book called Deep Work. And it's what is his name? Starts with a C, but Deep Work. And he's a Georgetown professor. And he wrote about how to, work-life balance, how to prioritize. He doesn't like multitasking, but the book is called Deep Work. I think it's Cal. I'll think of it during this interview. I will think of it. But he, he has a job where he's a professor and he writes books. So it's very easy. If you're working in corporate America, it's kind of hard to really, he gives advice that you should shut down emails, only check emails at one time in a day. If you're working in an office, you can't do that. You have to respond to emails every once in, throughout the day. But I did work in corporate.
Cal Newport.
What's that? Cal Newport. Yes. Cal Newport, Deep Work. Yes. Thank you. Great book. And it's an easy read. It's not like, and it's really great stuff in there. It's a great book. But that being said, he is an author. He is, he has a different schedule, but he does have really core principles that you can follow and you can adjust to your lifestyle. If you're working in corporate America, you might not be able to check email one time a day, but you might be able to say, hey, here's my 2 hours that I return emails and I can finish that. Because it's very hard to really, prioritize when you're working and then being a mom. But there are things that you can work with. Because I remember I read his book. I read Cal Newport's book while I was working in corporate America, but I was able, I couldn't fully, convert to what he was doing because we had very different occupations, but I was able to, and made a difference. I was able to institute some of the principles there.
from there. I think my question is also because I think in the burnout society we are living in. Technology is it's supportive, but it's there's a way we should go. Well, actually, we should organize and use this technology so it doesn't give us stress, but really helps us. And for example, I mean, when we get all these windows in our computer, like, oh, you got an email. Oh, you got an email. Oh, you got another email. And then you see that someone else is in the chat and is telling someone else that you have to do something. And then you are thinking about the email that you have to answer, but then you also see the chat and then your phone goes and then your daughter is calling you. You know, these things happen. And so that was so many years ago, but one day I just decided to put everything off. No, I don't want to know I got an email. I don't want to know someone's on the chat. You know, my phone is, you know, it's only going to be silent until 11 o'clock in the morning. You know, things like that. Like, please let me think. Let me concentrate.
It's so hard. It's so hard. It's a blessing and a curse, right? It's a blessing and a curse. So right now, I know exactly where my daughter is. I know where she is 100%. When I was 15 years old, I would be out and my parents would not know where I am. So like that, in that way, that's a blessing. I know where she is. You know, and there are many blessings that we have from technology. When I was in corporate America, I was working in IT. I mean, like I love technology. I think it's great. However, I think that there's a big disconnect because of it. And I'll tell you a story. Right after COVID, my daughter was 10 years old and she didn't do an assignment. And I got an email from the teacher and I said, I still chuckle about this. I said, she didn't do the assignment. And I said, that's strange. And I talked to her and she goes, I didn't know I had to do the assignment. So then I said, she didn't know that she had to do the assignment. And he emailed me back and he said, I sent her an email.
No.
Yeah, she was 10. I said, you know, and this time they were hybrid. So they were in school like 2 days a week, two days off the week. And I said, did you try having a conversation with her? I was so taken back, right? I was so taken back. I mean, like, he was very much on the COVID. They were home for a significant amount of time during COVID. So he was like, oh, this is how I communicate now. This is how I teach. But he was so acclimated to only send 10-year-olds emails. And, you know, like I was like, I know a bunch of 40-year-olds that don't check their emails. You think my 10-year-old's going to check her email and know what? Like, it was ridiculous to me. Right. It's what we have, though. My only advice is what I'm very strict with. No TVs in the bedroom. Not because because I just feel like before you go to bed, you're a click away from all the problems in the world. And I used to have it up until like 2 or 3 years ago. I had a TV in my bedroom because I liked laying down and watching TV. But if I'm watching, I mean, like I like watching like 2020 and things like that. Like it's not good. Like, cause it's interesting to me, but you know, the subject matter is not what you really want to watch before you go to sleep. So what I do, because I mean, like you can't deny it. The technology is there. So what I try to do is I don't have a TV in my room. And about 2 hours before I plan to go to bed and I have a bedtime every night, I do not look at my phone. I plug in my phone in my closet. I don't go in there. So I don't look at the screen because when you have that light, it's proven that that light, you can't fall asleep because your body's so stimulated from that light. So it helps you sleep. So those are my two big rules. No TV in the bedroom. And you know, like putting that phone away at least 1 hour before you go to bed, put that phone away. Like, because it's the problems of the world. That click away from that TV in the bedroom, you're like, all right, there's a crash on, you know, the interstate, and you see that and you see something horrible happen, and then you're going to go to sleep. what kind of sleep are you going to get? You know, I like if you're a normal person, that's going to affect you and you're going to dream about it. If you're a mom, you would like see an accident on the interstate while you're laying in bed and you're like, there's no way you're sleeping. Yeah. And something happens to a child in the accident and you see it on the news. There's no way. So get that TV out of the room. That being said, I mean, I can't shut down, you know, for my business. I post things on social media. I can't shut down technology, you know, for my livelihood. So I try to cut it out as much as possible. I don't, if I'm having a meal with somebody, I put my phone away. Right now, my phone is in another room because I want to be present for this podcast. So I put it in a total other room. So I can't even glance over at it because I don't want the temptation. I have an Apple Watch. It's in the other room too, because I don't want the dinging or anything like that. So when I want to have fully conversations, they go away. And I tell my family it's going away. You know, I say to my daughters, I'm not going to be available for the next hour. If you need something, you call your father. Grandma's always around, or, you know, my friend's always around. I just make sure. But when I want to be fully present, everything goes away. If I have dinner with my best friend and I haven't seen her in a long time, everything goes away. You want to be fully present. So that's how I deal with it. But like, we can't deny it.
No,
sure. It helps.
Sure. I mean, it's also a very stressful situation if you can't find a way, of course, and you have a phone that it's going to tell you exactly what you have to do. That's really nice.
Yeah. I mean, like, but, you know, a lot of people are like, well, what if somebody needs me? Yeah. Somebody else can solve the problem. Like, that's the whole thing with mothers. They're like, oh, they might need me. Yeah. But somebody else can help them. Like, so this is life. Somebody else can help them. I mean, like, you're always their go-to, right? Moms, you're always your child's go-to. You are their safe place. You're going to get the brunt of everything. However, somebody else can handle it for an hour.
For sure. I mean, they have to learn to get independent, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like, you can't, you know, like, I hate throwing around the word helicopter parent because everybody has their different priorities. I'm not going to stigmatize anybody. You know, like, I don't like when people are like, oh, they're a total helicopter parent. There are reasons why people are helicopter parents. There's anxieties. There's things like that, you know, and we don't walk in their shoes. We don't know their journey. We don't know anything like that. People always say to me, like, I have to know, but you need to take a step back because, you know, it's hard. And you just really have to be aware that this is overwhelming you. The ding of that phone is overwhelming you and you're jumping out of your skin.
Sure.
You need at least an hour to unplug. Go get a massage and turn off that phone. Like, or go for a walk and say, I'm out for an hour. It's simple things like that. If you do that once a week, I'm out for an hour, turn off that phone, maybe leave it somewhere. I mean, those are things that can help tremendously.
For sure. I met once a personal trainer who's, I think he was a very good personal trainer, but the first thing he said, if that person can't turn off the phone during our training, then I'm not training him or her.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Right? Like, and when you go on vacation, I have a lot of clients that are in corporate America and they're like, oh, I checked my phone on vacation. I'm in the zoo. I got on a conference call. Well, this is my advice to them. If they can't handle it for a week while you're at the San Diego Zoo or the zoo with your family, you need to get paid a lot more money.
Yeah.
A lot more money. They can handle it. Yeah. They can handle it.
For sure.
Because then when you go back to work after you don't unplug on your vacation, guess what? Work is awful because you're not relaxed. Sure. You're not relaxed. And I have people say to me, oh, well, you know, when I check my emails, I'm not overwhelmed when I get back. Multitasking, right? You won't be overwhelmed because you'll be well rested. You'll be more able to make those clear choices and to navigate those emails and go through them, right? With a clear mind because you were well rested for a week. And you went on vacation.
Stacey, you are a very good coach. I needed you some years ago.
Thank you.
You have guide for moms. You were also going to tell us about that. Thriving Mom's Guide. Just tell us.
Yeah, so it's a free guide, just to give you a little taste of my work. And it's you can go to thrivingmomsguide.com. You click on it and you put in your email address, and then it will shoot you the PDF guide. So it's five, tips on how to navigate and sort of be, you know, just like little tips and tricks, I think. And then you're going to have three emails after you put in, you know, over the next few days for more information on how you can thrive. So it's a little free gift from me to you.
Nice. Really nice. And tell us, so you work one-to-one. Do you also have group sessions or community?
Yeah. So, yeah, and I also do workshops. Workshops are pretty much on demand. There's some on my website of samples that I do, but I do change. I do habits. One workshop that I'm going to be doing soon is a 12-week workshop that I'm going to be doing. And you can reach out to me. I'm going to be doing virtually and also in person. So it's like a perimenopausal workshop where I do an hour of sculpting a week. It's a 12-week program, an hour of sculpting a week, and then an hour of stretch a week. And you know, we can do it via Zoom. I have a studio that I do it in, or you can come in person if you're local to Westchester County in New York. But it's for perimenopausal women who really just want to get the benefits of simplistic exercises, and it's a group atmosphere, which is very supportive. And I'm, you know, like, it's sort of like a book club. Like, we talk about, you know, like, it's like a community, and we talk about things that are affecting our lives. And it's a really good unplug. I make everybody leave their phones at the door. There's a phone basket. And I make everybody leave their phones at the door because I don't want, and they silence them. I don't want the dinging. I don't want anything. That's your hour. And it's good because the studio, we don't really get service for cell phones. I get service for the Zooms, but not the cell phone for the. So that's another program that I run.
And for women that are abroad, so you say you also have this in a Zoom situation. So it's like,
Absolutely. I do Zooms. I'm fine with time change. And I have a client in Guam right now. So it works out. I mean, technology, right? So this is fabulous. Like, this is an example. We could never do this, you know, years ago. So you have to take it, you know, take the good with the bad, right? Try to combat like what would overwhelm you, you know, and really try to relax. But, you know, we're busy people, and the Zoom enables us to be connected. So that's a great thing about it. So we need to be grateful for different aspects of technology, right?
Sure. Yeah, just to learn how to use it. You know, it's like, it's more than only turning on the computer. It's really using it to take off your stress. No, not giving you more stress.
Use it to your advantage, right? Everything, the priority should be in life, I think. It may change. I don't think it will change. Stress, lowering your stress should be your first priority in life. That is the only way you're going to live longer. If you want to live longer, you lower your stress. Get the tools to be resilient, because you don't know what life is going to throw at you. So go through the process. Get those tools to be resilient. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. There are some things that are abnormal. But look at yourself. See what you really want and lower your stress. Because that's the only way you're going to live longer. If you want to see your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, lower your stress and work on yourself and take care of yourself. Because you cannot take care of anybody else if you don't take care of yourself. So if you think that you're a good mother and that you love your children, the number one way to show your children that you love them is to take care of yourself. If you do not love yourself, you cannot love other people. You cannot give what you don't have. You don't. You can't. You can't do it. You don't love yourself. If you're not taking care of yourself, you cannot show up like like you want to with your children or your family in any relationship in your life. And it's not being selfish. It's the most selfless thing you can do. It is the most, it is loving people. When you love yourself, it is caring about your loved ones, because what are they going to do without you? What are they going to do without you? I just said to a client the other day, I was like, why don't you think you're so great? And I said, what do you think about your children? And she's like, they're awesome. And she just went on about her children, how great they are. And I said, okay, I think you had a little something to do with that. Right. And I said, my grandfather used to say, they didn't learn it from the wind. He used to say that. That was a great, great quote. My grandfather's from the west of Ireland. And he used to say that they didn't learn it from the wind. And I said that to her. I said, my grandfather used to say they didn't learn it from the wind. So they're awesome. And they didn't learn it from the wind. Right. So love yourself, because you produce these wonderful creatures. Not every child's perfect, but they're all special. Right. I mean, my children are not perfect. No. Absolutely not. Are you going to see us in the supermarket? And I'm going to be like, not yelling. But are we going to have a little, exchange about, buying ice cream or something like that? Yes. No one's perfect. Everything's a journey. Nothing's lateral. You go through ebbs and flows and ebbs and flows, but you need to be kind to yourself, and you need to really, just be kind to yourself and have patience with yourself.
Yeah. And I think what I have heard from women also, because of my podcast and other coaches I have interviewed, is that women tend too much to think they're doing it wrong, as if there would be the right way. There is the light way and there is the dark way, it's the good way and the bad way. But it's not like that.
There's no wrong way. There's a way for you. I don't have the, I don't know. I'm sure that we don't have 100% of the same values, you and I, right? Or the same needs, or the same, we're different people. Sure. It would be impossible, right? So a way you do something is going to be way different than what I do something, and it's not wrong at all. You need to accept it. Yeah, and you'll be able to accept differences in other people after you accept your way. You're going to be kinder. When you're kinder to yourself, you're going to be kinder to other people. You are. Every relationship begins with you. Every relationship begins with you and yourself. The relationship that you have with yourself is what you put out there. And every relationship begins with you.
Sure. Really great message, Stacey. And is there another way women can reach you? Because you have your website, but is there only on the way Instagram?
So I'm on Instagram, and it is Mother's Guidance. I'm on Instagram. I'm also on Facebook. It's Stacey Riley Conti, and it's Mother's Pathway on Facebook. And also my website, which is motherspathway.com. And then you can also, if you put your email address you can access me through the Thriving Moms Guide as well. So there's many, many ways.
Many ways. All right. That will put the description for sure in the description of this podcast. Stacey, I really want to thank you a lot for all your wise words.
Oh, thank you so much. It was lovely talking with you. It really was.